Translation. When the Supreme desired to speak, speeches were vibrated from the mouth. Then the controlling deity fire was generated from the mouth. But when he was lying in the water, all these functions remained suspended. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The peculiarity of the gradual development of the different senses is simultaneously supported by their controlling deities. It is to be understood, therefore, that the activities of the sense organs are controlled by the will of the Supreme. The senses are, so to speak, offering a license for the conditioned souls who are to use them properly under the control of the controlling deity deputed by the Supreme Lord. One who violates such controlling regulations has to be punished by degradation to a lower status of life. Consider, for example, the tongue and its controlling deity, Varuna. The tongue is meant for eating, and men, animals, and birds each have their different tastes because of different licenses. The taste of human beings and that of the swine are not on the same level. The controlling deity, however, awards or certifies a particular type of body when the particular living entity develops a taste in terms of different modes of nature. If the human being develops taste without discrimination, as does the swine, then the controlling deity is certainly certified for the next term to award him the body of a swine. The swine accepts any kind of foodstuff, including stools, and a human being who has developed such indiscriminate taste must be prepared for a degraded life in the next life. Such a life is also God's grace, because the conditioned soul desired a body like that for perfectly tasting a particular type of foodstuff. If a man gets the body of a swine, it must be considered the grace of the Lord, because the Lord awards the facility. After death, the next body is offered by superior control, not blindly. A human being, therefore, must be on his guard as to what sort of body he is going to have in the next life. An irresponsible life of indiscrimination is risky, and that is the declaration of all scriptures. Om jnananti mirunnasya jnanan jnana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manopistam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta parakamalam shri gurum vaishnavam cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saritam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Lalita Shiv Shakan Vitam Stra He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuva Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So today also is appearance day of Vakreshwara Pandit Prabhu. So we'll talk a little bit about Vakreshwara Pandit's appearance, and then we'll continue with Srimad Bhagavatam class, today's class. So what I remember reading recently is that Vakreshwara Pandit was a close associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was endowed with this special mercy of chanting and dancing, particularly dancing, for 72 hours. At least on one day, he danced for 6 hours, continuous. And Mahaprabhu was singing and he was dancing. So they were very close associates. And at one point, Mahaprabhu said, you know, or rather, Vakreshwara Pandit said, I wish I had 10,000 Gandharvas, you know, to sing so I can carry on dancing, you know, nicely. So Mahaprabhu answered that, you are one of my wings, and if I have another person like you, then I could fly. You know, if you have two wings, then you can fly. So Mahaprabhu was glorifying him. Anyway, so there was another purpose to this Vakreshwara Pandit's appearance. There was a devotee called Devananda. And he was very good at speaking Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavatam, understanding Bhagavatam, teaching Bhagavatam. So that's the book Bhagavatam. But what he did is that he was reciting like us, you know. There was a Srivas Pandit in the audience. I don't know whether there's Srivas Pandit here, but at that time Srivas Pandit was there. And he started crying because he was absorbed in the katha, Bhagavad katha. So, you know, when you got this ruchi, love of Godhead, then you exhibit some symptoms. So Srivas Pandit was crying a little. And then, of course, naturally, it might disturb the whole class. So some people thought he's mimicking, you know, some emotions. And they basically took him out, threw him out of the class in front of Devananda Pandit. So Mahaprabhu came to know about that and he chastised Devananda. And because he offended a Vaishnava, a great Vaishnava, and that is Srivas Pandit. They didn't realize he's a great Vaishnava. But because it happened in front of him, he did not stop the action. He suffered. So when Vakreshwara Pandit was dancing in another area later on, the crowd became so big that Devananda, he actually was present there. He knew that there's dancing going on. So he came to control the crowd. And because he came to control the crowd and help Vakreshwara Pandit just carry on dancing, look, sometimes, you know, we have the brahmacharis dancing wildly sometimes because of nice kirtan. I mean, Govinda Prabhu, he sings so nice. So it's not that they're faking the dancing. Actually, it is good to dance in kirtan. But sometimes, you know, when they dance very fast, especially in Mayapur or Vrindavan or here even, you need to give them some space to dance. So Devananda actually gave Vakreshwara Pandit some distance, you know, some space. So because of that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to know and he actually gave him mercy that because you serve my devotee, Vakreshwara Pandit, then, you know, I'll relieve you of your offense. So there are two Bhagavatas. One is Bhagavatam, this book. The other one is Bhagavata, the person Bhagavata. So Srivas Pandit is a person Bhagavata. So we have to respect him. That is the point. So that's Vakreshwar Pandit's brief history. Also, in Kashi Mishra's house, they were both residing together, Mahaprabhu and Vakreshwar Pandit. So they had very close association, and obviously it's so nice when you're dancing. So he was one of the gopis, actually. The name was Tungavidya. Tungavidya. And we had a Mataji here doing dressing and as a pujari. And she used to dress very nicely. And she is the wife of Vice President Trikalyagyan Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple. And they established all the deity worship in Chicago, in America. So she has special deities in Vrindavan, or Trikalyagyan Prabhu is looking after those deities. They're very, very special deities. Anyway, so that's Tungavidya. She used to be a pujari in the manor. So this is just a brief background. So we'll continue with today's verse. The background to today's verse is like on question by Maharaj Parikshit to Sukadeva Goswami. We read earlier, Canto 2, Chapter 8, Verse 11. The question by Maharaj Parikshit to Sukadeva Goswami was this. I have heard that the planets and their governors are imagined as the limbs of the Virat Purush in 2.1 and 2.5. Please explain more details. So the answers for this question are in 4 or 5 sections. One is in Canto 2, Chapter 10, which we are discussing. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. That's the title of this chapter. Right, and also Canto 2, verses 10 to 35. So we are right in the middle of it. We are verse number 19. Okay? And then the other answers for this same question is in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.6. And also Srimad Bhagavatam 3.26. And Srimad Bhagavatam 5.23. So in Canto 3 and Canto 5, there's more descriptions of this answer to this question. Paramatma is the shelter of the soul, who is the shelter of three items with His grace Jainitai mentioned yesterday. Anybody remember? Adiyatmika, Adidevika, Adibhautika. So Adiyatmika is subtle senses. Adidevika is sense deities. Adibhautika is gross sense in the body. So these are three technical terms, but today we try and learn. Adiyatmika is subtle senses. Adidevika is sense deities. Devika, So deities, Devika, and then later on we'll find in our class, D also means, Devika means super soul. Okay, that's later on. And Adibhautika, gross sense in the body. Gross sense in the body. So, which are mutually dependent. So, it's not independent. Like our modes, basically. You know, we are in the material world. So, sometimes it's mode of goodness, sometimes it's mode of passion, sometimes ignorance, sometimes it's a combination. So, similarly here, Adiyatmika, Adidevika, Adibhautika, all three, sometimes, they interchange. It's not independent. So they mix up. Since Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 10.42, by his amsa, he pervades the worlds. It should be understood that Krishna is the shelter of Paramatma, who is the shelter of the Jiva. Thus Krishna as the supreme ashraya is established. So coming to our verse, Number 19. What does the Lord desire? This is the Lord in the form of Virat Rupa. Yes? It's a gross form we are talking about at the moment. Gross. It's not subtle. We cannot see. Gross, you can see. You know, I can see you. You can see me. So gross is that. So gross sense organ, Lord desired to speak. That was the main thing. He desired to speak. Now, anything Krishna desires, it just happens like that instant. See, in the spiritual world, there is kalpa vriksha trees. I think we've heard this example before. So they are desire trees. If there's an apple tree in this world, material world, the apple tree will give you apples. If it's a mango tree, it will give you mangoes. But in the spiritual world, you're looking at this apple tree or you're thinking of a mango, then mango will also appear from that tree. Isn't it nice? You can just dream that you want mango. Now is the mango season, but say in winter you want a mango. If you have this tree in your back garden and you want to have a mango, I'm sorry, can somebody, it's in a bag, my phone, just switch it off or something. Okay. Please, thank you. Okay, so, where was I now? That's disturbing. Mangoes, yes. So, when Krishna desires anything, it just happens. That's the point, Krishna. So he desired to speak. So when he desires to speak, this gross sense organ, it's called Adibhuta, is Mukham, his voice, that appears. We say Muk, you know, Mukham, mouth. So we speak from the mouth. Voice comes from the mouth. The subtle sense organ is Vag, V-A-G, Vag. So that's Adiatma. Adiatma, subtle sense organ. Okay, and the sense devata is Adi Deva, who is a demigod named Agni Deva. So devata are demigods. Sense devata, in this case for speech, is Agni Dev, Vanir. And what is the activity? The activity is speech. So again, we repeat three things. Adibhuta in this case is gross sense organ, which is Mukham. Subtle sense organ is Vag, which is Adi Atma. And then the sense devata present now is Agni Dev. So in order to speak, Agni Dev had to appear in the mouth as fire, you know. So then you can speak. So this is all arranged by Krishna. Okay, so now we discuss a little bit more. I mentioned about Paramatma earlier. Paramatma, who is the shelter of the jiva, he is the one who allows the action to take part. In the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, verses 13 and 14, they describe five actions. One is place of action, which is Adhisthanam, and is ruled by the jiva. It's the body. The second one is performer, karta. And then the senses, karanam, endeavor, sesta, and supersoul, which is daivam. So without the supersoul, you cannot act. You see an object, the senses get attached to that, then the mind says, I want that object. That, yeah. So this is how it works. And then the intelligence is higher than the mind, and the soul is higher intelligence than the intelligence. So we have to be very careful about our senses. If they are uncontrolled, then we will be doing nonsense half the time. And this is what is happening in the material world. We are just putting ourselves as the center of attraction. and we want to enjoy our senses. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness is to change or transform the thoughts in the mind from, instead of looking at our senses and how to satisfy our senses, we have to transform or divert our attention to Krishna's senses. If we can do that and we serve Krishna as a pujari or book distribution or whatever Srila Prabhupada has given us, there's a long list of services one can do, then we are actually serving Krishna, and that is our eternal position. We are all servants of Krishna. So we have to serve Him. He is our eternal Father. He is calling us back. We are lost in this material world. He is trying to help us. He is saying, come back. And all we have to do is just listen and come back. So it's a simple process, but we don't listen. This is our problem. We want to enjoy our senses. So in the Prabhupada, a human being is not supposed to be like a swine. A swine is a pig, big pig is a swine. So in Vrindavan there are hogs, pigs, they are all the same. And they like eating stool. So the Prabhupada is trying to explain, we have to discriminate what we want to eat. We have to use the intelligence. Intelligence is used to discriminate what is good, what is bad. So if we, like, I think 99%, I think, of the population in the world, they want to eat what they want. It's only less than 1%, I think, who are vegetarians. And they, and ISKCON is even a lower figure compared to the whole population. But members of ISKCON, they don't eat meat, they don't eat fish, they don't eat eggs, they do not eat onions, they do not eat garlic. So 5 items they do not have. So their minds are in mode of goodness, not even passion or ignorance. The garlic and onions, so many people ask, it increases the passion and ignorance. Devotees want to be in the mode of goodness. So if we all learn that, then at least we come to the level of goodness. And then any activity we do in Krishna consciousness, it actually transcends the mode of goodness to pure goodness. So ISKCON devotees are working in sattva gun. We are actually above the modes. And that's what Krishna consciousness is all about. So we have to rise from passion and ignorance modes to the level of goodness. And once you come to the level of goodness, which is in Srila Prabhupada's movement, you follow 4 regulative principles and you chant 16 rounds. So that's the level. Then by chanting you're doing transcendental activities. So Prahlad Maharaj says, Asat Grahat in 7.5.5. Accepting this temporary body and bodily relations as real. This is what most people are doing. They're just thinking that I like to eat everything and anything. I want to enjoy my senses. So they're accepting the temporary body as real. I am this body. Everything belongs to me. Everything belongs to this body. It is mine. Aham Mameti. There's another verse. And then Prahlad Maharaj says, most, which everyone is following, most people are following, they just want to attach to their family, attach to their children. When children produce more children, grandchildren, and then grandmother is looking at the baby and the baby grows up a little bit and then they speak nice, broken sort of language, It's very attempting to love that child because of the broken language. Like all the murderers in Vrindavan, they loved Krishna because Krishna was trying to walk and then he falls down. He's running after this calf, holding onto the tail and then he falls down. So obviously little children, little babies, they're fun. But too much attachment is not good. This is what the point is. Too much attachment to wife, husband, wife, you know, children, family, friends. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, yes, okay, you have those, but not too much attachment. Detachment should be there. So then he talks about Vanaprastha. He's telling his father, please, enough is enough. You know, you got everything, now detach. But he doesn't listen. So that is an example of a andhakupam, like a blind well. You're looking for water, but there's no water in that well. It's all dry. And another example is the once you get in that well, somehow or other, if you just try and look for water and you are in, then nobody will help you because it is such a deep, the wells are normally deep. You go in, you keep shouting, help, help, help. Nobody will help because you are somewhere where nobody can hear you. So that's the example Prahlad Maharaj says, is andhakupam, it's blind well. So we have to try not to go there, we go where the water is. The reservoir water, you know, nectar, where is nectar? It's, where is Krishna? So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, you know, when after 50 or so, people should go to Vrindavan, people should go to Krishna's pastimes, you know, learn about Krishna's pastimes, stay in that dham. There is a Vrachamandal every year where we cover 12 forests of Vrindavan. And you walk Vrachamandal. It takes a month. This year is Purushottam Mass, so we have an extra month. So it's going to be late. I think it will start in November 1st. So one should go to Vrachamandal Parikram and discover the pastimes. So this is what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. The other thing is Sat is eternal, asat is temporary. So there is a nice phrase, verse, asato ma jyotir gamaya. So we have to remove ourselves from asat, temporary, and go towards the sat, which is eternal. So everyone should give up temporary existence and approach eternal platform. And this is opportunity for everyone to join ISKCON, learn from ISKCON, learn from Srila Prabhupada, learn from Srila Prahlad Maharaj, how to serve Krishna, not our senses. Soul is eternal, so topics concerning eternal soul are actual knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:35, the purport there is about Indra. Indra was cursed by Brihaspati to become a pig, a hog. And Indra is in that body, according to our purport today. Krishna arranges that you are enjoying, you know. You want a pig's body? You enjoy in a pig's body. So he's enjoying and he's eating stool and these things. And he's happy. And other demigods are getting worried. This post, Indra's post, is empty. You know, it's like a government officer, says Secretary of State is missing. Then that post has to be replaced. Otherwise, you know, there could be a war and nobody knows what to do because the Secretary of State is not present. So here, Indra is a post. You know, he's got a post. He's to manage that post. So all the other demigods were asking, where is Indra? Where is Indra? But then Brihaspati, Narad Muni, Brahma, they all knew where Indra was. And then they approached Indra and he said, I'm enjoying here. Leave me alone. I've got my family. And he just produced, you know, a lot of piglets, another dozen. So they don't produce just one single human being like us. So a dozen piglets just going around, you know, next to the mother. So he was very happy. He said, "This, I've got my children, I've got this. I don't need to listen to you. I'm very happy." So Prabhupada says, you know, I'm all right. You know, in the purport he says, I'm all right, so leave me alone. This is generally the tendency of everyone in this material world. And most of the Indian people nowadays are also not speaking proper English or Gujarati or, you know, it's all mixed up language. Now, what happens is that before, you know, English people used to say, good morning, how are you today? And now, everyone says, are you all right? Are you okay? Even in Gujarati community, you know, all right, Cho. You know, all right. So, all right is just a, you know, and Prabhupada here clearly says with Indra, he's okay, he's all right. The same word is used. That's why I picked it up. It's a purport. You know, all right, we are all right. Yes, yes. Saruchi, Madhu. All right. So that's a good Gujarati translation to I'm all right. But anyway, so everyone tried to get him back, but he was just enjoying. So this is an example of attachment. But finally, I think they managed to tell Indra, look, you're a heavenly king, you know. Come back to your real position. And he had some devotion, of course, so he came back to normal life. Okay. The other thing is, you know, you cannot guarantee your body as a human being. Because there is another verse, 331.1, it says, karmana deva netrena. So there is higher authorities who are going to ensure which body you are going to get in the next life. So Prabhupada, in our purport at the end, he says, a human being therefore must be on his guard as to what sort of body he is going to have in his next life. So if you have good karma, or if you do Krishna conscious activities, that is not even good or bad karma. It is ideal. It's called akarma. In the Bhagavad Gita, it will come later. But anyway, the point is, when we do Krishna conscious activities, we don't get any reaction. So that's the beauty. And you at least get a human form of life. So there's no harm even chanting one round. Or come into a temple, take darshan of Radha Gokulananda. Do something. Do something useful for you in your human form of life. Don't just say, I'm all right. Okay, so I think I've covered the majority of the points I wanted to cover today. So I'll open the floor for questions. We have 10 minutes for question time. Thank you very much for listening. By the way, you know, this whole idea about senses and devatas, it's on page 186 of this nice book, Bhagavad Subodhini, Cantos 1 and 2, which was referred to yesterday by Jayanitai as well. So, but today's and the rest of the verses up to 17 to 30, you can refer to this chart here, and it has got what is the Lord's desire and which devata is in charge. So this whole chart, nicely done. If you want, you can borrow this, take a picture or something, and after class. Yeah. Yes, Govinda Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you for your analytic class. Here's a question. We understand that the deities are controlling every aspect of our bodies. So we think we are the doers, but in actuality, for example, even opening our eyelid, there's deities involved. So does that mean, for example, if someone, say, they go and pick up a heavy weight, and they're like, they're endeavouring, their muscles are getting tight and everything, and they feel very much that they're doing everything, are we supposed to understand that they are actually not doing anything? And that some deity is doing it for them. I just don't understand that.
About weightlifting. Who is in charge of weightlifting? I don't think it's there, but let's have a look. 186. See if there's an answer for that question. To experience softness, hardness, heavy, cold, heavy, light objects. Maybe that's touch and air. Vayu is in charge of that, probably. Because he says heavy or light objects, so lifting is heavy.
Okay, so, Vayu,
so maybe Vayu is in charge.
Vayu is in charge, but...
Touch and air, it says at the end.
Okay, so Vayu is in charge, but if you try and lift a really heavy weight, your bicep will get ripped or something. So somehow, if Vayu is doing it, he's doing it through your bicep. Is that how we understand it?
No, it's complicated to answer. It is not easy. But I can tell you something. At the end it says gross element and sense object. There's a touch and air they are influencing. So in an exercise situation like that, a gym or something, the trainers, personal trainers, they will tell you that follow this instruction, this manual, this induction video. But the main point is that they will tell you to breathe in as you lift up or something. Am I right? Yes? Breathe in, then you can lift it. So there's always some demigod who is actually helping you. Am I right? I think I hear some nodding and acknowledgement. So thank you. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other burning questions or any questions? Because we are talking about fire, burning. Nishkinchana Prabhu, then Prabhu, you.
No, just following on from Govinda Prabhu saying that it seems like it simultaneously the demigods, when let's say if you desire to lift weights, they'll simultaneously increase your muscle and give you the ability to lift the weights. Like I was hearing a class recently, and they said how, you know, when we have an itch, we scratch it. I think skin is also under the jurisdiction of Agni, and he will actually enable you to actually scratch that itch. But because it's so smoothly done, it seems like we are doing it, but it's actually Agni who's doing it. So.
Okay, external itching and touch sensation, Nishkinchana Prabhu. External itching and touch sensation. To experience sensations, Mahi Ruha is the devta. Mahi Ruha. Mahi Ruha is the one for skin itching. And we can see the example where, in the Mandara Mountain, you know that Canto 8, where Kurma, Krishna takes the form of Kurma and he enjoys the itching. You remember the story? He enjoys the itching in his back. He's doing the work, he's trying to maintain the mountain on his back, Mandara Mountain, and he gets this itching, so he enjoys it. Actually, sometimes, you know, if somebody itches or, you know, you do this, you enjoy. You can enjoy, but sometimes you can't reach the part. But you do enjoy. One minute. Prabhu there had a question first. Prabhu, what is your name?
Hare Krishna. My name is Mukesh Shukla.
Mukesh. Hare
yes.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I was just wondering, is doership attached with Nirodha Samjayata?
I'm sorry?
Nirodha Samjayata. Is doership increasing as far as Nirodha is concerned? Nirodha and doership. I want just get some clarification.
Right. So let's see. Nirodha means suspension here. Yeah. Now, what is happening here? Is in the translation, but when he is lying in the water, this is, you know, Lord, when he's lying in the water, all these functions remain suspended. So, you know, at night time you go to sleep, I go to sleep, I don't talk, I'm sleeping. So all these senses are there, talking, hearing, but it's shut off, basically. It's there, but it's shut off, isn't it? So it's suspended. In the morning, wake up. Yeah. Babies, some, they don't listen to the rules, babies. They just cry when they want to cry. So in the middle of the night, you know, disturbs your sleep. Yeah, when Krishna wants to manifest, yeah, he manifests all these things. Like I gave you an example, in the morning we start talking and all these things. So when he's unmanifest, he's in the water, all these senses are unmanifest. There's no need. Yes? Does it help? Example of sleeping is a good example. We have got all these senses, but we don't use it. It's all quiet. You know, it's in slumber, actually. All the senses are also in slumber. Unless you hear the fire alarm or, you know, police alarm, there's something happening, you know. Then you wake up. But our senses of hearing is the highest, actually. It will be from birth right until death, hearing. Eyesight, this and that may go down, but the hearing stays right until you die. Very powerful sense. Ah, yes. Sankirtan Priya.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a wonderful class. It's just a very simple question. It says in the scriptures that there are 33 million demigods.
Yes.
And a cow has
all
of
those,
them.
Yes.
But what about our bodies? Do we have a proportion of them, or is it all of them, or is it some of them, or is that anywhere written in terms of the scriptures where we have certain amount of demigods moving this gross body, subtle elements also, and then making us sort of do our activities to live our desires, or also fulfill the mind's ability to gratify itself.
But here, again, you know, all the demigods who are in charge of various senses, they appear in our body, isn't it? At the time of speaking, Agnidev is there. So each sense has got a demigod. So you can count how many senses. We don't have many senses. It's only about 10 or, you know, 11,
yeah,
including the mind.
Yesterday, yes.
So then we have 11 demigods in that example, in that scenario. But this 33 million demigods present in a cow, that's why Krishna loves the cow. Cow, you know, favorite animal of Krishna, so that's it. But we should not worship demigods independently. You can worship demigod to approach Krishna. The aim should be to approach Krishna. The gopis worshipped Katyayani to get Krishna as their husband. So you can do that. So
the central acquisition there was Krishna.
Krishna. The whole idea is to worship Krishna. This way or that way. That's what. But Krishna consciousness in ISKCON is direct method. So why climb 55 staircase, you know, in America or Dubai or whatever? Just get the lift. Take the lift. Make sense? Any other comments or questions or corrections? David, you would like to correct me? You have a question? Okay.
Thank you, Boo. My question is that how do we understand our activities and that the demigods have a part and the relationship between the demigods and the three modes of material nature in our activities?
So if I understand your question correctly, how do we understand the demigods, how they help us with the three modes? Or
no, it says in the Bhagavad Gita that it's bewildered by the influence of the material nature, and the activities are actually carried out by the three modes of material nature as well. Like, that it's the demigods and our activities also by the three modes of material nature.
You are referring to the verse, Maya Dakshina Prakriti Sivati Acharacharam? Yes? You know, we are affected by these three modes. Our all actions are done by three modes of material nature while we are in this world. So sometimes, you know, have you seen the photograph in one of the Bhagavad Gita's of three strings? Like a puppeteer, he pulls one string this way and another string this way and this way. So sometimes we are in the mode of goodness, sometimes we are in the mode of passion, etc. You know, there's three, yeah? So we cannot get out of that. But with the help of demigods or whoever, senior devotees in ISKCON, we can lift ourselves up from, as I said, from ignorance and passion. They are the two main modes in the material world. Everyone's just engrossed in passion and ignorance. So we have to rise above passion and ignorance to come to the level of goodness. Once we come to the level of goodness, there is a chance that we might meet a devotee and he'll tell us, chant one round, read Prabhupada's book, do something, come to the temple, clean the temple, do something. That will elevate us from the mode of goodness to transcendental goodness. Does that answer your question or no? You still... Maybe we can talk after class so that others can start having breakfast or whatever. Is that okay? Thank you very much, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna. Thank you, thank you.